Dropping Jewels.
So, 2021 is a new year. However, the mechanics for dropping jewels are gonna change. Instead of doing affiliate marketing, I told myself, why not support and advertise our dearest local home-based businesses or small businesses from now on, especially during COVID. I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier on. So, expect food, apparel, services like design, photography, video, I don't know, babysitting or massage, you tell me. And I'm gonna do all this for you guys for free. So if you do want to advertise, drop me a DM, you know where to find me. And today it's gonna be photography and videography. So this is a service provided by one of my good friends, Sharul Azmi. Ever since COVID, some small businesses might be struggling to stay afloat. Having a website and social media alone is not enough to sell your products. You need product photos, promotional and testimonial videos as your marketing tools. And it takes time to source for people. Now, Sharul has been doing design for the past 15 years and has been doing photography and videography as a side hustle. To assist you as a business owner, you can book Sharul for your visual collateral so you can concentrate on your product. Visit him at sharulazmi.com. I will leave the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to yet another episode of A Dossier. I hope you guys are doing well. And today, this is the third installment, or third episode, I should say, with A Dossier's collaboration with Disconnect. And once again, and as if you haven't got to tune into the previous episodes, the first topic was about love and self-love. The second one, just previously, was courage. And then now, all of the topics has got to do, you know, there's links between each other. It's like step by step for you to get a reminder of how to propel in life and how you can take care of your mental health and just keep yourself sane. So without further ado, I'm going to invite Mr. MK in the studio. I mean, yeah, we're recording remote, but yeah. Thank you so much, MK. How are you doing today?
I'm good. You know, I had a long day, you know, because I'm currently writing a book. And this book is really about, you know, mental health book, where we are actually rallying different mental health professionals, you know, from all walks of life, so that we can begin to destigmatize, you know, stigmas around mental health.
Got it. I have a question.
Yeah, tell me.
When is it going to be launched? Is it still in the works, like pre or?
It is still work in progress, but I'm currently planning to officially launch it, you know, in this coming September during our new exhibition that's happening in Singapore from 10 September all the way to 31st October.
Okay. Is it questions as well before we start off? Is it going to be the same installments as of what you are doing now?
No,
or is it going to be a new one?
New works, but it all revolves around mental health at a different level.
Oh, wow. Your calendar is packed.
Very packed, you know. Some days, you know, the days actually ends around 2 a.m.
I completely understand.
It makes the whole, you know, conversation about, you know, restoration, you know, healing, you know, recharging becomes even essential. You know, when we run at a certain pace and intensity, one of the things that, you know, we have to learn to take care of is to give ourselves breaks or to give ourselves off time, you know, to really recover our energy. Exactly. And I think that, you know, before COVID itself, you know, one of the things that, you know, people always do is that, you know, when we go to work, the time in between going from home all the way to office, that short period of time is actually a buffer time, which gives people the breathing spaces to readjust their mind, you know, before they go into the workplace.
Yep.
Well, when COVID happens, you know, lockdown happens, and our space, you know, back at home, you know, is kind of, you know, reduced, because our space that we use to spend personal time in suddenly becomes our work environment as well. And that breathing space is actually lessened.
True.
So actually, you know, even though it's just a couple of minutes or even an hour, but it actually make a lot of difference for the mind, for the body, you know, for the heart to respond and to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, you know, this is also where, you know, we need to recognize to be able to create, you know, spaces like that for ourselves as well. Especially, you know, where we are actually dislodging ourselves from work and just being able to be present to what really matters to you and to really recharge yourself. And sometimes it could mean not doing anything, but just by you being with yourself. depending on what works for you.
I just realized when you say that to decompress and do nothing, right? That I just read it up today. There's actually a Dutch term for it, which I completely forgot what the word was, but there's a term for that. Okay, so shall we get into today's topic?
Well, actually, you know, this whole conversation, I'm actually already started into going to today's topic. And, you know, one of the things that we want to speak about today is really about integrity, resilience, and discipline. And the last session, you know, we actually spoke a little bit about courage. And, you know, courage, you know, just to do a recap, you know, is literally you doing the things that matter to you, even if all the odds are against you, even if circumstances are against you, even if all your emotional and limiting beliefs are against you. But you choose to do it because it brings you to a better place. And, you know, if courage, it is a force that push and drive a person from one place to another, then discipline is all about momentum. Well, first thing first, you know, we have to know what's the right thing to do in our life. And then we need to know how to do the right thing right. And oftentimes, you know, all these things that we've spoken about, it is linked to the principles of manifestation. How do you make something work for real? Now, instead of coming from a principle point, let's look at it from a physics point. You know, discipline itself is really about, you know, you being able to move forward at a certain pace by doing the right things and it means that you need to have clarity and awareness of what is the right thing to do in the first place. And of course, if you spend your life, your energy doing the things that are not really right, you won't get to the outcome that you want, as compared to you doing the right things and what is necessary as a building blocks to get from point A to point B. If courage is a force that moves a person and discipline is what is necessary in the middle game, how do we continue to move forward? Now, why am I speaking all this and how is it related to mental health? Hell yes, you know, if we know what's the right thing to do for ourselves, you know, as we really identify in the conversation of love and also in the conversation of courage, then what's really the next thing to do is, are we able to maintain that plan itself that we have come up? And to stick to a certain discipline, to stick to a routine, it's not an easy fit. For one simple reason, because, you know, I don't know about other countries, you know, but I know that in Singapore, oftentimes, you know, discipline takes on the negative stigma, negative association around it. Simply because, you know, discipline oftentimes is related to punishment.
Or rigidness.
Yes. And we learn all of that, you know, back in our education curriculum. And that's why, you know, when it comes to discipline, not everybody, you know, I'm speaking from the fact that, you know, I work only with, you know, a couple of people. Thousands of people. That's about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, oftentimes, you know, discipline has a negative stigma around it. And it's also the reason why a person doesn't have discipline.
True.
So if we want to understand again, you know, let's define what discipline really is. Discipline is really about you knowing, it's about you doing this, you doing the things that you know you have to do because it will lead you to a better place down the road. It is that knowing that allows you to continue to persist through, even if you feel uncomfortable about it, even if there are days that you don't feel like doing it. Now, Sheila, you know, I'm not sure whether, do you actually go to gym in your life?
Gym? Is it working out?
Yes.
I am not the kind of person to... I think it's because of the repetitiveness of just not sitting down, but just doing like sets of it. I am rather the kind of person who would be active and go hiking or probably play VR or probably go on a run or do outdoor games. I'm that kind of person. I can't sit on a gym. And when you say about... I don't know whether it's troubling as in discipline wise or self control, but I my attention span is really little. So I can't sit in a gym. But yeah. Yep.
So it's the same thing as, you know, it's not too far fetched to imagine why people will actually skip gym days or skip a certain routines or even have cheat day or even, you know, cheat meals, you know, that kind of stuff. Simply because, you know, there are days that, you know, our body really wants to give up. Once we hit a certain point, and we have to understand that this is part of the flux and this is part of the curve itself. It's a dynamic. So when it comes to, you know, okay, so let's link it to a little bit about mental resilience. Now, mental resilience is really about, you know, the strength to continue to push and to persist. Even when all the odds, all the resistance are against you, you can feel it. And mental resilience is really about you going through those times, you know, with that power inside of you. Now, it is through the discipline, the act of working on what really matters, what is right for you, even if you're uncomfortable, you start developing this thing called mental resilience. It's because you continue to move and to walk. And when all the forces are against you as a resistant force, and yet you still choose to walk because you are able to bring out your willpower to do so. Now, that is mental resilience. Honestly, mental resilience is one of the hardest things, you know, to nurture and develop because it is associated with willpower. And unless, you know, we are trained in certain regimens, you know, as we were growing up, guess what? Willpower is something that has always been tested and tested and tested on a person. And it is not something that is naturally, it's not something that's natural to most people.
Yeah. And adding to that, I agree with you because I think self-control for myself is actually, I'm a late bloomer. So I just realized that self-control is a really hard thing for you to actually input in oneself, especially if you don't grow up with it. Unless if you have a, probably in the case of military debts, yes, probably yes. There's a certain routine that you have to follow. I think so, because I have friends who grew up with military debts. But as for me itself, I realized at this age, self-control is so hard. It takes a lot of discipline. That's all I wanted to add. Yeah.
Correct. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, the thing that makes a person to continue to go and to persist and to walk through the difficulties, you know, is because, you know, deep down inside of them, there's something that's really important for them. And that's where we begin to look into this thing called your core. And, you know, it is about, you know, knowing who you really are as a person and what really matters to you at the end of the day. And part of it is really about, you know, this set of boundaries that we talk about called integrity. So unlike, we are not talking really coming from a morality point, you know, but integrity is really about, you know, you knowing who you are down to the core of your being. And as a result of that, you know, you are able to know what are the values that matters to you. You are able to know the boundaries of your space in your personal space.
Yep.
And integrity, you know, is really about, you know, that itself, you know, the word actually comes from the word integral.
Okay, I learned something new.
Correct. So integral, you know, what does it mean? You know, let me just Google dictionary meaning. Well, sure, integral is really about the necessary to make a whole, complete, essential or fundamental. And it is really about that. And you can't really have integrity if you don't really know who you are down to the core, you know, in spite of all the masks that you put, you know, who are you as a person? And that's why one of the classic examples that I always share with people is that, you know, when we take off our masks, you know, it is important to know who we are at the core. We are not defined by all the social labels, we're not defined by our job titles, you know, we are not defined by all these things that society kind of puts onto us as expectations. And if you know who you are inside of you, no matter what kind of crisis were to hit you, you're able to manage it because you have a ground to stand on. And what makes you being able to stand on the ground is really that integrity inside the person, where they are connected to the core of who they are, that no matter how tough or the forces externally that comes into you, you're able to maintain certain state and functionality. Should I have said that? Or I'm boring you?
No, you're not. I'm actually distracted by my cat. No, but just to add on integrity, I really think that when you speak of the core and the integrity of someone and knowing themselves, I actually, the other thought that I have is actually intentions as well. As long as you know that your intentions in whatever you do in life, that is integrity in a way as well, in whatever you do in life, your work, your personal life, your, you know, your family members, your relationships, everything, as long as your intentions are clear, anything externally from the outside coming in, as in noises from society or people saying things about what you are doing, does not matter because you are complete and one with your intentions. That's what I think about if it's integrity.
Right. And, you know, it really comes from you knowing, you know, why you're doing this in the first place, you knowing your intentions. How clear are you to your intentions? You know, for the most part, most of us, you know, we are not clear. For a matter of fact, you know, when we do something, you know, we are half-assed for it. We're not fully aligned to what we do in our life. And it is because of all these little habits that we build, you know, we think that it is okay to be like this, when in fact, you know, this is also what hampers our growth and development and evolution.
Yeah. I think like the reason why we have all these topics to talk about, just to talk about offcast for a bit, is because just to set as a reminder that, you know, we as humans, speaking for myself as well, we're always swept away with, like, we were talking about intentions of doing things. Sometimes we go, it's as simple as going to work, not enjoying your work at all, and doing it just for the sake of it. Eventually, it's going to snowball. The integrity of it is not there. It's going to snowball, and you're going to get sick and tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I... That's just to add on with whatever you... the points that you have to say just now.
Mm.
I think also discipline is... For me, discipline and self-control is the same. For me, correct me if I'm wrong. Because I think it's actually hard. Like you say, there are some days that I just don't want to work out.
Indeed.
Yeah, it does. I think for everyone as well, I think it's relatable, because there's just some days that you just, you know, you clash with, I have it in my notes here, you clash with, like, there was one, the reason why we're talking about this, I had a question from a listener. So he or she, I'm not going to say who, but he or she asked a question, and they were asking, so how do one actually get into discipline and, you know, have a good sense of self-control when he or she is a procrastinator?
Hmm. Well, I think the first thing first, you know, we have to first recognize a couple of things.
Hmm.
All right. The first thing is this. Does the thing that you're doing really matter to you?
True.
Does the end point of the objective or the goal that you're doing in your life really matter to you? If it truly matters to you, then you just have to do it, because you have something bigger than you to run for. My experiences tells me that, you know, when people are not really chasing after something that they are fully aligned, they give up halfway. They find reasons to give up. As a habit.
Excuses, yeah.
So the question is this. Does the thing that you're doing give you back a big enough value for yourself? Do you have stake in the things that you're chasing after? The bigger the value is, the bigger the stake. There's no game without pain. That's the saying.
It's true. And I agree with you.
And then you just need to figure out what's the right thing to do to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, and I think to add to that as well, that I procrastinate myself. but there's one thing that I do which makes me catch myself before I even procrastinate, which is whatever it is, if I have any ideas or anything, I'm going to put it in my phone. I think writing down actually helps. Like you were saying, you have to list down the excuses that you write. Like for me, this is what I practice for myself. Mm-hmm. I would write down the pros and cons, in the sense that, okay, if I don't work out today, what are the repercussions? So when you see it, right, you will physically think, oh my god, I'm not going to lose any calories, and then I'm going to gain weight, and then I'm not going to be healthy, and then eventually I'm going to be fat. So I know it gives you a trail of worries, but in some ways, it works for me. So maybe, you know, the listeners who are listening to this, maybe you can take this as an example, and, you know, you can use it for you as well. I don't know. It might be useful for you. But if you see something that you write down that is going to eventually snowball into something unhealthy, I think it will help you. So that's one of the exercises that I did.
Any other questions that the audience actually have, you know, that they actually posted from the previous, you know, webinar? Sorry, previous podcast.
Previous podcast, so far, no. One of them actually shared on their Instagram, but that's about it. I only had one question for this one. But yeah, I hope we actually answered the question for procrastination or procrastinators. Yeah. Do you have anything else to add, MG?
What is the specific question regarding that?
The procrastination, is it? So they were posting... any solutions to procrastination? How do I exercise discipline or self-control to possibly reduce procrastination or eliminate procrastination as a whole?
Interesting.
Because like how I say, I realize that self-control is actually really hard, right? Yeah.
Well, think about it this way. Procrastination is not the reason why people don't do their work. Procrastination is merely the effect of outcome because they didn't do the work.
Yeah.
So it tells you that from a cause and effect point, there must be a deeper reason to why they choose to procrastinate in the moment when they knew they should have done their work.
True.
The question is, do you know what you're avoiding? Do you know what you're running away from? Do you know what you isn't doing your work? And if you can be honest with yourself and look into yourself, maybe you can find some clarity, you know, in terms of, you know, what is the true reason that's really underlying, that's really holding you back from doing your work when you know that you should do your work. Because we know that when we don't do our work, when we procrastinate, there is a consequence as well. And oftentimes we pay a price for it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we feel shitty ourselves. And sometimes we learn it as a bad habit. We start thinking that it's okay to procrastinate. But we have to recognize that we don't do our work and it's not because we procrastinate. We don't do our work because deep down inside of us, there's something that's stopping us.
Yeah, I agree. That's why when you say that, I actually came up with the exercise of writing it out. So when you see it, you'll be like, okay, this is the repercussions. Okay, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Well, that's actually a good exercise, you know. You should actually list down, you know, 10 things that, you know, you're always helped by, especially when you know that you're supposed to do something, but somehow you just decided not to do. You know, all these things, you know, are very good exercises, you know, to build upon. For example, if you can actually write down, you know, what are 10 things that, you know, on a day-to-day basis, if you can catch yourself on days or time of the day where you actually start procrastinating or where your energy is low and you decided not to give a fuck about whatever you're doing. You know, all these little moments actually give you an indicator of, you know, your energy state and how your state of a day-to-day basis actually goes. So you start identifying and mapping out, you know, when is your high point, when is your low point, when are the points where your energy is rising and when are the points where your energy is decreasing. So you know how to plan your days. You know what kind of activities to plan on your days based on your state and your energy. Now, that will actually increase your odds of succeeding. So for example, I know that I tend to be more creative after 1 a.m. So a lot of the creation work that I'm involved in, you know, I will always do it between 1 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Same.
And that's because during that time, you know, it is a time where I'm the most creative. And I know for some other people, it may not necessarily work that way. So we all have our different constructs. Some people work better in the day. Some people work better in the afternoon. Some people work better in the evening. Some people work better in the night. Some people work better in the wee mornings. So we have to find a curriculum where our body, our balances in our body, our states, our energy actually match up to that. And true to be told, we do have that cycles in our body from biological.
It's true. And I heard that I was just doing a little bit of reading. Just to add to what MK said, it's actually quite true. Fine. Sometimes I feel like we have to rewind back and be kids again. That's why kids have nap time. That's why kids have snack time. That's why kids have, you know, it's all allotted times for them. So I feel like I read somewhere that, you know, there are some people who don't survive on a full 8 hours of sleep, but they actually split their nap times in between the day. And then at night, like you were saying, you know, they are creative and then as nocturnal as they are creative, and that's when the work actually starts. So yeah, I agree with you, MK. I think people have to find their schedule for the day for them in order for them to be productive and not to procrastinate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I have a question. Do you have anything else to add before the question? No, I wanted to ask about the latest exhibition. Or do you want me to keep that for the end later?
Oh, sure, we can do it. Ask me what's about the exhibition. I'm currently in the planning phase. A lot of my energy is really right now going to Muscle Singapore Movement and also the book that we're launching. So I'm not sure whether I mentioned Muscle Singapore. So Muscle Singapore, we have already launched it since the start of March. It will be a national movement that we are running for next 6 months. And our goal is very simple. We want to make a total of 500 masks and to create a record around it.
Got it. Is it still at Chu Chi Humanistic Youth Center?
It's called Chu Chi.
Did I pronounce it wrongly? I'm so sorry. My ignorance. Right. Pardon.
So it will be happening at Chu Chi, but we are also going around different communities and organizations, you know, to run that.
Okay.
So far, so good. A lot of participants actually got a lot from it, from those 3 hours awareness workshop. And, you know, they started bringing their friends along, you know, so that was nice. And, you know, very interestingly, right before, you know, our podcast, you know, I got the news that, you know, one of them was a teacher and she wanted to bring their students, you know, from the primary 4, primary 5, primary 6, you know, to be part of the workshop.
Wow.
So, yeah, we are also reaching out to Children's Society. We are also reaching out to, you know, disabled groups, you know, in Singapore as well. So the whole thing is really recognized that, hey, actually, you know, mental health involves everybody. It doesn't matter whether, you know, of your limiting things that are holding you back, whether is it from a biological point, whether is it from a physicality, or whether is it from emotions. As long as we have a heart, body, mind, mental health involves all of us. So that's that for Muscle Singapore. You can actually check it out on our Instagram page. The links to sign up is actually down there. Now, on the other hand, you know, the book that I mentioned earlier on the start, you know, this book itself, you know, I'm actually trying to destigmatize stigmas around mental health. And we want to look at mental health from different lenses. Whether is it from the lens of a doctor, whether is it from a lens from a nurse, you know, psychotherapists, you know, nurses, you know, social workers, volunteers, even caregivers, even down to leaders and politicians. So that we can start to look into mental health, you know, from a very diverse point. Now, instead of me telling you what mental health is and what mental health is not, I would love for you to find that out for yourself by experiencing the book. So a lot of the principles of how the book was being designed come from art itself. So it's the same as art and filmmaking. Instead of me telling you what is and what is not, you experience it yourself and you make sense out of it. And I think that is more powerful.
It is. Oh my God. I think the amount of time that you have to research for the book, I think it's going to be plenty, right? Is the research still going on or is it done and just writing?
It's really a work in progress. I'm currently writing it.
Ah, okay. So that explains why you're always finishing at 2 a.m. in the morning. But yeah. Okay, tough schedule. Okay, I think that was good. The intensity of the conversation was on point for the topic that we have today. Is there anything else that you want to add?
Why don't we do the subsequent podcast a little bit more interesting? Maybe the audience themselves, you know, they can actually post comments on some of the 3 podcasts that are already done. And then maybe we can use some of these things to discuss and to weave it in the other topics that we have planned for our audience.
Maybe we should have a review of the whole, after we finish everything, then they can post their questions and then we do a whole review for the whole episodes and then they can lump all the questions there.
Possible. That would be interesting. I'm thinking that this will help them. This will be more interesting and interactive and dynamic.
True.
And of course, you know, we will get live audiences, you know, sometimes, and that will be fun.
Agree. So listeners, as you have heard from NK, if you do have any questions in regards to all the previous topics or the future topics that we're going to talk about, or the topic today as well, or anything about mental health or the exhibition that he is doing, or even if it's in a matter of probably venting, if you have troubles and you need opinions, please do, you know, you can send your questions to personally me myself on a dossier at Instagram, or you can send it to, is it okay if they send it to this connect Instagram? Yeah, that'd be okay.
Excellent, that'll be excellent.
Yeah, so you can actually pose your question to either me or MK at disconnect on Instagram and DM us. I think that would be okay. That would be good so that it will start a conversation of what you think and it will assist us to, you know, probably tweak our conversations in the future and it'll be better. So it'll be a safe space for all of us. So thank you so much, MK, for your time. That was perfect. That was like, we're going to finish like below 30 minutes. That was compact and good and informative. So I hope everything goes well for you and your exhibition. Please take care of yourself. I know it's really crazy, your schedule.
I am taking care of myself. My energy is higher than most of the people.
I can imagine. He's wide awake right now.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, if people actually have questions, you know, after listening to the podcast, you know, and they have some food for thoughts, you know, feel free to share with us. You know, I would love to hear what you think about integrity, resilience and discipline and how it relates to a person's mental health journey. I'll be more than happy to have a conversation with you on a personal level, or we can bring it onto the podcast level as well.
True, that should be good.
Fun times.
Thank you so much, MK, for taking time to do this.
Thank you, Sheila, for hosting this. You know, I'm having fun. I love it.
It's compact. So until the next episode, thank you so much to listeners for listening. MK, we have a few more episodes. There's 4 more episodes.
4 more episodes.
So I cannot wait. Sorry, yeah. Lucy?
Why don't we give them a sense on what is the next episode?
Let me get my phone. Okay, so I think the next few episodes are going to be a little bit heavy. Don't you think so?
Next
right?
That we're going to talk about is called emotions and difficult emotions.
Oh, it's going to be heavy. You know, when I was looking at the list of conversations or topics that we have, right? Okay, 1, 2, 3 is okay. And then 4 onward, it gets really deep. But we decided on this, MK, remember? Like we were like, okay, let's get the tougher ones in between for us to compartmentalize. So, and probably it would be good if they can send questions as well in regards to this emotions, difficult emotions, what they think about. They'll be okay with you as well, right, MK?
That would be excellent.
So, pose your questions to us and we will try to inculcate in the conversation and we will try to assist you with that as much as possible.
And then, you know, I hope that you have a great time. live your life well, enjoy doing the things that you love, keep on running.
Yes, and kiss your loved ones. That's the usual tagline that I use for A2CA. Thank you so much, MK. Have a good night. Okay.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.